please record.
Counsel, my name is Andrew McGowan. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant in this case, Michael Antonelli. With those reasonable calls, the little bit Mr. Antonelli was not competent to change his plea in this case, and we're appealing the failure of the district court to at least order a competency evaluation, if not a hearing, to determine his competency. I believe that the facts of this case clearly established that he was not competent when he was first arrested. He indicated to the court through various pleadings that he hadn't been taking his medicine, that he had been diagnosed with bipolar doctors over 7 years with many diseases, including bipolar disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and manic depressive disorder.
But of course, the relevant time is when he pleaded, isn't it? And wasn't there evidence in the record that when he does take his medication, he is all right? I mean, some mental disorders are amenable to medication.
That's exactly the issue before this court. After change of plea, was he competent? And our argument is that essentially because of all of his medical records, all of his medical problems, in fact, he'd been actually recently evaluated as incompetent in the case in 1998.
But that's not the reason, if the time period of medication is just 2 or 3 months. I mean, I guess the thing that concerns me is I don't know why we should, as a matter of law, disregard his own performance at the hearings before Judge Koukouras, the opinion of his lawyer, the opinion of the other lawyer, and the length of time that had elapsed since these evaluations that you're referring to.
Yeah, I believe those are all appropriate considerations to the court. I would just indicate that our argument is that he needs to be evaluated to determine his competency. True, we have evidence in the record of his performance in the hearing that we appeared before the judge. The judge certainly evaluated him based on those hearings. But what concerns me about this record, in addition to the medical evaluations that already been performed, which were ordered, but it did not appear as though the district court actually knew that these pretrial filings had been made. He never referred to them. He never indicated that he realized that they existed.
Would that really make a big difference? Because he clearly knew about his history. He knew his mental history. He knew all the problems he had in the past.
At the change of plea hearing, there was some mention of his bipolar disorder and his medication when he started taking, etc. I'll go on that. However, with somebody with a long-standing condition as he had, and in relation to the World Trade Tower incident, that evidently, in his mind anyway, began the process through which he ultimately robbed the bank, which involved stopping taking his medication, when he was arrested, he was afraid that MTC Chicago was going to be blown up because of all the switches there. This is a man who's not well, and he's definitely not well when he's on medication. When he's not on his medication, we don't know. And the particular fact that I point this court to is that in 1998, when he was evaluated for competency in his federal case, one of the doctors indicated that he didn't know what medication would be appropriate, that he should be put on some medication regime, and with a proper medication regime, which could include several different kinds of medications, he might be competent within 2 to 6 months. Now, based on that evaluation, the district court in that case recommended the Bureau of Prisons that he be put to Rochester
The problem, I think, is that in these situations, the district judge, I don't want to use a technical term like discretion, but the district judge has to exercise some judgment as to whether the next step has to be taken to order the hearing. And unless you think that there is just some absolute unwaivable rule that a person with a prior history of mental illness always needs a competency hearing sua sponte, ordered by the district court judge in later appearances, it strikes me that Judge Koukouras did exercise his judgment. He spent a fair amount of time inquiring into this and finally concluded that the hearing wasn't necessary. So, you know, unless there is this per se rule, I don't know how we could reverse that finding.
Your Honor, I'm not arguing that there should be a per se rule. I don't think the law indicates that there should be. I think each case should be evaluated on its own merits. my evaluation is different than what you've just commented.
I'm sorry, it's a range of opinion, that's all.
I'm sure it is.
As to whether you even need a hearing, though.
True. But what never happened in this case was a competency evaluation. And, you know, a hearing is sort of a second step in my mind to a competency evaluation. Somebody just look at the medication he's taking, tell the judge, look, he's done this medication for however long he's been on it, it seems to be working, and all of my tests that I gave him came out positive. Now, the one thing that I have a concern about in this hearing is that he's changing his plea about 4.5 months after he's originally charged. That's a normal time frame, and I'm not too worried about that so much. When he wanted to go to the magistrate, the oral letter, he was worried about MCC Chicago getting blown up by the mom. It may have been, that's why he was pleading guilty. Now, the government's arguing, and I'm sure we all agree, that he got a better sentence because he pled guilty, a few points off. But he's an older man, and in those contexts, sometimes a six-year sentence ends up being all the life that they have left. And so,
unless I'm mistaken, the person, he's also a very experienced litigator.
Well, that makes it doubly more difficult for lawyers to evaluate whether he's competent or not. He did seem to know what he was doing. He wasn't a lawyer, but he'd certainly been in enough trouble to learn something. He was very bright.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also a paralegal at some point. All of those factors taken into consideration would be difficult, more difficult for an attorney or a judge to look at him and say, well, you're not competent. Not only do you not know the law, but I mean, you're talking crazy. He can talk about the law with some degree of assurance, which makes it all seem more likely that he's competent to a lawyer or a judge.
But here he wasn't talking crazy either.
He wasn't talking crazy on the record, no.
Right. I mean, that's a problem for you.
He was certainly talking crazy in a world of
peace. Oh, yeah. Well, we've established, but that right now doesn't... I mean, I understand that's a factor, but that's really not what the behavior was.
It's certainly a factor that would, you know, raise my eyebrows to the extent that
right.
If I were in a situation like this, I'd say I'm not sure whether this person's competent. And then one thing, if the judge were also a doctor, if you were looking at the medication you're taking, et cetera. But there's no indication that you're the doctor. I'm not a doctor.
Well, but of course the judge isn't required. The judge still makes the final determination, not the position.
Sure, but in certain situations where this society has generally used professional evaluation,
usually in many cases of insanity, we sometimes get two opinions as well.
That's true. And it might well have been that he'd been sent out, if he'd been sent out for a competent evaluation, he would have been found competent by the doctor. I just don't know that. He may not have been, too. My time seems to be running out. I would like to remain able to respond to the judgment's argument.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you,
Mr. Getter.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Matthew Getter, on behalf of the United States. The focus in this issue needs to be Mr. Antonelli's present state of mind, the state of mind at the time of the plea hearing, as well as during the course of proceedings in the district court.
Sometimes the history also indicates whether or not the competency evaluation should be obtained. What is his history?
I'm sorry?
What is his history with regard to mental illness?
Well, certainly, Your Honor, it's apparent from the record that the defendant, the appellant, does have a history of mental illness. Various psychiatrists had suggested over the course of several years that he perhaps had bipolar disease, personality disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. The government will not dispute that the defendant probably did have those mental illnesses.
And isn't the very nature of the mental illnesses that some of these reports point to something that should at least inspire the district court to get a new professional evaluation, because he tended to be grandiose was the word that was used, have way too much confidence in his judgment, you know, when he was in certain frames of mind because of the disorder. So of course he's going to come across as, sure, I can do anything, but that may not necessarily be the sign of a healthy mind.
Certainly. Well, I think, Your Honor, that's where the district court's discretion comes into play. Unless the court, as I believe Your Honor suggested, is willing to adopt a per se rule that anyone with a history of mental illness requires a full-scale competency hearing, including a psychiatric examination, the district court needs to be left with a certain amount of discretion. I believe in the Garrett case, the Seventh Circuit stated that the court, while the Seventh Circuit review is comprehensive, the district court needs to have a good deal of latitude in determining the need for a competency examination.
But how can we be sure that the district court exercised that latitude with the full record in mind when he didn't know about, as he makes rather clear in this record, he didn't know about the bizarre letters Mr. Antonelli was sending with the paranoid fantasies about the MCC being Bin Laden's next target. I mean, if he knows everything, I would say, okay, he knows that he's waited, but he didn't.
I believe there are two responses to that, Your Honor. First, Judge Koukouras had the opportunity over the course of several months during these proceedings to evaluate himself, to observe Mr. Antonelli, as well as speaking to the lawyers. And Mr. Waller, who was counsel at the time, said that he, after he was focused on present state of mind as opposed to his history of mental illness, acknowledged that he was, I believe he used the word lucid.
He kept using the word lucid.
Yes.
The court kept saying that that's not the whole question.
Right, and when Judge Koukouras focused him on that question, Mr. Waller stated that he did equate the term lucid to the term competent.
The only thing is if Judge Koukouras had known at the same time as Mr. Antonelli was seeming to be lucid or competent, whichever word you want to use, he was also contemporaneously writing letters saying Bin Laden is about to attack the MCC, it might have caused Judge Koukouras to evaluate what was happening in front of him differently.
That was going to be my second response, Your Honor, is that keeping in mind that this had to be, that this needs to be evaluated over the course of the proceedings, attached to the defendant's, I think it was called his pro se statement in connection with the sentencing, it's number 44 in the record, was attached that letter. It's one of the exhibits. So Judge Koukouras at some point did have that before him, and it was before sentencing. And as we know, under 18 U.S.C. 4241, the court, sua sponte, is obligated to have this competency hearing if it determines there's reasonable cause to question his competence at any time up to sentencing. And that letter was before the court at some point before sentencing.
But he didn't comment on that. Judge Koukouras didn't make any finding in the record. He didn't acknowledge that it was there. I understand it was a part of the record, but
that's correct.
I didn't read anything there. I mean, I guess what I'm concerned about is here, this man had an extensive mental history. I don't understand why there was an objection by the government. We wouldn't be here today if it turned out the way you thought it would turn out, that he indeed was competent. I mean, what? Wouldn't it have been a safer course to just say, yes, let's have him evaluated, let's end this? I mean, this wasn't just a one-time incident where he had problems mentally, but he had an extensive history.
Right, and I think while the district court has to have a certain degree of latitude, I believe the attorneys as well have to have a certain degree of latitude in deciding whether they think, based on their observation, that the defendant is competent. And Ms. Murphy apparently had no reason to believe that the defendant was not competent. In fact, the defendant himself, at the plea hearing on February 27th, said in addressing or responding at some point in time during this to Mr. Roller's observations about the letters that had been written, said that at some point I began to get medicated. He said, when I wrote those letters, I wasn't feeling right. I had some help writing those papers, but I've been medicated, and the medication got me, I think he said, level again. So the defendant himself said that the medication that he was given had leveled him out, had made him, and he was, in his view, competent. He recognized that when he wrote these papers, he wasn't right.
But what if the defendant had said, and on top of that, I'm so level, you know, that like that French guy, you know, I can walk in a tightrope between the Hancock Building and the Sears Tower. And you would look at that and you'd say, okay, you're saying you can do that, but why do we think you can really do that?
Obviously, you can take it to extremes, Your Honor. I don't think Mr. Antonelli said anything in the record that would indicate that he was exhibiting any sort of grandiosity. And certainly, as you pointed out, he does have a familiarity with legal proceedings. He seemed to understand everything that Judge Koukouras talked to him about. He demonstrated an understanding of career offender status, of motions for downward departure, of the burden that he would need in an affirmative defense, of insanity defense. Those are all demonstrations of his awareness and his understanding. And while, as counsel pointed out, he didn't
seem to agree, at least in the police, he didn't seem to agree with his lawyer, Mr. Royer, on the availability of an insanity defense. The fact that a defendant and his attorney disagree on a strategy certainly no way indicates that the defendant is not competent, or we wouldn't have very many competent defendants in our courts. Thank you very much for your time, and on behalf of the United States, I ask that the conviction and the sentence be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Ms. Dallas?
Your Honor, there's one further factor I'd like the court to keep in mind when deciding this case, is that Mr. Antonelli continued to ask for a competency evaluation after his change of plea. Now, he did it in the context that he wanted to make a motion for non-departure, which he did with the large motion with all the attachments based on his diminished capacity. I think it's significant in the context of looking at the change of plea hearing and what happened in that case, at that hearing, Mr. Antonelli evidently believed that he would be able to get that hearing at some point or another, or at least the evaluation, but in the sentencing context, probably for a lower sentence. And I think it runs into maybe perhaps how he approached the whole case, including the change of plea hearing. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.